Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping,
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Brendan Levi. Unfortunately, Paul and Lucy are both under the weather this week, but luckily, our good friend of the show, all the way from our sister city podcast, the Hunting Seasons podcast, it's Broderick Gord.
Hi, Brendan. How you doing?
Now, since I'm not being like held under the thumb of Paul's regime...
The cat's and, away, the mice will play.
And yeah, Lucy's not here to tell me to shut up because that's what she always does. I thought it'd be cool to have my own segments. So I've got a few new segments to introduce to the show, okay?
Awesome.
So for all our first-time guests, but I know you've been before.
Many times, but sure, let's go with that.
Yeah, because we never got to it.
Sure.
Now... You know how people have like a zombie apocalypse strategy? Like people always have planned like what they're going to do in that scenario.
Sure.
I want to find out your body swap strategy. So what you would do in the case of a body swap.
This is a good segment idea, Brendan. I like this.
However, because there's so many different body swaps, I've actually got a wheel. I'm going to spin the wheel, and one of the films is going to be that we've done is going to be the body swap scenario that you're going to be in.
Okay, you might have to let me know what that scenario is. I'm not up to date with all the films that you've reviewed at this stage, so yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got that.
All excellent.
Right. So, spinning the wheel.
Excellent.
All right, you have... Mr. Fuzzy Pants. Do you know which one Mr. Fuzzy Pants is?
Is that the one? Is that a body swap with a cat? Is that Mr. Fuzzy Pants?
Yeah. So I guess either Christopher Walken turns you into a cat or into Kevin Spacey. I'll let that be your choice.
It won't be Kevin Spacey.
So you've been turned into a cat. Like, what do you do? Like, how do you, like, let people know that it's really you in a cat's body.
Jeez, I was just as you were preparing me, I was starting to think of like, first thing I started to think of, what's my zombie apocalypse strategy, which I realized I actually kind of have one. Then I started to think, what do I do if I body swapped into a different person? The cat thing makes it so much more complicated. In the film, what, like, it, obviously people can't understand the cat. Somehow I got to communicate with people. Fuck me.
You can obviously have a narration in your mind that the audience can hear.
Sure. Jeez.
But you can't actually use your actual voice.
You'd need like, I'd somehow need to get, I know that like cat paws work with like iPads and stuff, right? Like a friend of mine recently, they got a new kitten and they had the cat playing the game inside because the cat paw was on it, was making it move from left to right. So like if I can get access to like a tablet, I guess I could start to like, type out things, yeah. I guess would be a good way to communicate with people. And then that way...
Like, do you feel like if a cat started typing something on a tablet, that would convince you enough? Like,
it would be a start. The tipping point? I'd have to be paying attention, I feel like. I'm thinking of my cat Arnold.
Like, it's like, worth investigation?
Totally. If my cat Arnold showed up, was suddenly like tapping away on the keyboard and it said, "Hi, Brod, this is Arnold. I can talk to you." I'd be like, "Bullshit, prove it." And then if he went, "See, watch me do it," and I watched you, I'd be like, "All right, okay. I'm paying attention."
Yeah, either way, I'm invested.
Exactly. Now, whether I can get to the point of convincing them that I'm a person that they know, that's a different story. But I think that would like, that's a pretty straightforward way. I think that'd be something like that.
Well, the thing you got to think about is like, who are you going to convey this information to? Who do you trust? Because if everyone knew that you're like a man in a cat's body,
Ooh, yeah,
there'd be serious consequences. Like there'd be autopsies and shit.
True. Yeah, it'd probably be my partner Steph. Maybe my brother Liam would be the ones I'd go to. Makes me think also, it'd be interesting if I could access technology, you could also like keep texting people as myself. Like, yeah, I could like throw other people off the scent by telling them I'm like somewhere else or getting them to go place. Yeah.
So you can still manage your life, is that what
you're
saying?
A little bit, yeah. I could at least write the, you know, the return to sender email that's like, sorry, I'm currently indisposed. So if, you know, if I don't get back to you right now, don't worry about it. I'm just on a... you know, a holiday all of a sudden, or I have something serious
to do. I feel like that'd be my last thought. I've got to maintain the business.
I think that'd be the main tool. Technology would be helpful these days.
Well, thanks for like fielding my special guest question.
Actually, that's a brilliant idea.
I think we'll keep it moving forward.
You've got the wrong guy.
It's honey, it's okay. I've lost you.
I need a slash.
In today's episode, we'll be breaking down the 2009 British miniseries Boy Meets Girl, starring Martin Freeman and Rachel Sterling, where Danny Reed, a lonely DIY store employee obsessed with conspiracy theories, finds himself trapped inside the body of Veronica Burton, an affluent female fashion journalist. Before we get into it, though, I want to say a big thank you to Louisa for recommending this series on Twitter, which is a great reminder that to mention to all our listeners, if you love the podcast and you want to recommend a show, please reach out to us on Twitter, on Instagram, or send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. Once again, as Paul would say, if you want to support the show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common requests to review
Face Off.
Okay. On to Boy Meets Girl.
Mm-hmm.
So usually Paul would pose a question, but Louisa sort of in her tweet to us posed a question in itself. So in her tweet, she wrote... actually deals with dysphoria unlike most body swaps ? Is that a terrible question to start with?
No, I mean, it's not a terrible question because I think it speaks to one of the strengths of the show. I'm stealing this a little bit because I've already read Paul's contribution synopsis to this. Yes. And his contribution to this podcast today. And he pointed out that they do take the swap seriously from the point of view of like, I think often in swap stuff, it's all about getting to the fantasy of like, what if it's like for a man to be a woman and or whatever it might be and sort of get into the fantastical comical elements rather than how completely discombobulating it would be and actually quite traumatic that experience would be if it was real. And that's something this show does well, or at least makes a focus of what it's trying to do, which is noteworthy.
Yeah, so something that we take for granted when we do reviews of this genre, like specifically gender swaps, is that this trope is used as for comedic effect.
Mm-hmm.
But like the actual situation would be like nightmarish.
And totally.
Yeah. I would actually agree with Louisa that all the time that we see Danny in Veronica's body, mm-hmm. which by the way, she gave us the acronyms to make this easier. So Danny in Veronica's body is Vanny. Vanny.
So Danny in Veronica's body is Vanny. Yes, Vanny. It is.
And then Veronica in Danny's body is Deronica.
Deronica. Right. Okay, great. Well, we follow Vanny very closely, and a lot of the Vanny storyline is, the trauma of that swap, but also particularly from his perspective, what it's like to be a woman. Kind of. I have a lot of criticisms about this. I think on a psychological trauma level, that the show does a good job of making it feel like this is a bad situation and a really, really a difficult situation to be in. I struggle with how well what they had to say about it necessarily. It's like, yes, I can feel the drama of it, but what's your perspective on this?
Yeah,
it sort of played with a couple of ideas and never really followed through any particularly meaningful way, I didn't think.
Yeah, so like I sort of see like the point and like sort of picked up at it too. There's a lot of moments where the soundtrack is bum ba-dum ba-dum of
the
this
fucking soundtrack, particularly in the first episode, was driving me bananas. It was so bad.
There's a lot of this, like, what would you call it? Jaunty sort of tones. But when Danny in Veronica's body, Vanny. when body Vanny has a meltdown at work and goes into this speech about, like, I am a man. Like, I am a man in a woman's body. They don't actually play that terrible jaunty. They actually bring the score down, which makes it seem like they were not playing it for laughs. But whether or not that was on purpose, I think, is sort of incidental.
The problem I have is that, like, that is almost a good idea, right? Like, if you want to talk about real body dysmorphia or gender dysmorphia or something like that, the idea of doing a body swap type film could maybe... You obviously don't want to downplay real people's experience like that, but it's an opportunity maybe to have that discussion and give someone potential to have a different... Or give, like, a cis white man the perspective of what it's like to be a woman and what body dysmorphia feels like when you know you're a man in a woman's body or something like that. And while they kind of, like, edge on that idea a couple of times, they never commit to saying anything particularly interesting with it. That's why I wish it's either... do what every other body swap film has done, which is make it a joke about the difference between men and women, which, you know, overdone, sure, but theoretically can work if you commit to it, or go the opposite direction and, okay, this is going to be a serious take on body swaps. Don't just be about how traumatic it would be. Actually have something to say about that, what that experience would be like to them psychologically. And I don't know, they just didn't do anything with it, I don't think.
Yeah, like this common trope, this thing we've made a Swapcast podcast about, so often it's about walking a mile in each other's shoes and learning something. Mm-hmm. And Vanny had no interest in learning about being a woman. Mm-hmm. Like, he was very distressed about it. Yeah, I can sort of see that being something you can sort of point to and going, like, yeah, like, here's an example of someone experiencing, like, a misalignment with their gender identity. But for an entire 4-episode series at 40 minutes each, it was very surface level and didn't really leave anything else to be discussed besides, oh, that happened there.
Yes, exactly. There was moments of it. I think the best example for me, I was getting really frustrated in episode 2, and I'm like, geez, I'm not even halfway through this thing yet. I'm ready to jump off. And the episode ends with... We're right to talk spoilers, aren't we? There's no...
Well, you know, we usually at this point will do the 30-second plot summary.
Totally. All right. Are you going to do it, Brendan?
Because people won't believe, because I would do it very eloquently and stuff, and they'd think I wrote it down. I'm going to put it on you.
On me? Oh, fuck. No, did not prepare at all for this. All right.
Yeah, so people will believe it.
I also finished watching this series 2 weeks ago when we initially planned to record before things went awry in our own personal lives. So good luck me remembering. Here we go. Let's see how we go.
You do one, and I'll do one, and I'll put whichever one's
I can do it. Okay. We'll see how we go. You set the clock for me. I'm ready to go, I guess.
And ready? Go.
Danny is a guy who works in a hardware store, and he's in trouble money-wise, so he does a job for these shifty guys. He has to go and get some cable from this place, but then a lightning bolt comes down and, like, electricity swaps him with a woman who's there on the same night, and then he's in her body, she's in his body. She, as you said in the thing at the start, she's a fashion reporter. He has to pretend he's her because he's with her husband and stuff. It's a body swap film. Anyway, it takes forever for them to see each other again, and they have to swap back by doing the same electric thing. That was, like, the worst summary, because all I gave you was, like, the setup. I didn't get to any of the things that happened in between.
So it is a body swap. But
it's a body swap is what I just said. 30 seconds. A body swap happened.
I know you said, like, you didn't get to a lot of the plot, but was there really much else to say?
That's the question,
they switch,
right?
They swap back. Nothing's learned.
That's kind of the problem. Probably the big element that I really missed there was, like, the love story between Danny and I haven't watched in a few weeks.
Fiona.
I can't remember her name. Fiona. So Fiona is, like, one of his workmates who he's in love with in his normal life.
Was there something I missed in the first episode?
Yeah, I think in the first episode he suggested he was, like, into her, but she didn't give a shit about him. I'm pretty sure it said in the first episode. Again,
I thought it was just because she was a woman, and in the show is like,
knowing Danny,
they're in proximity. Of course, they're gonna sort of hook up.
The type of guy that Danny is, that might not be inaccurate. Like, the only woman in his life, so why wouldn't he's probably her? He's probably in love with her, and also the chick that works at the pub. Behind the bar. Like, they're the two women in his life. He's probably in love with both of them. Anyway, once he is Vanny, he finds out, well, he's still in love with her, and apparently Fiona is into women, and so they form a relationship or start a relationship.
Like, somehow. A very romantic one, considering how little time Veronica spent with Fiona.
Yeah.
Like, when someone's going to, like, let's run away together.
Yeah.
And the only interaction you've had is, I've lost a friend, and you have a loose connection to them. Like,
so this,
that's full on.
To me, this speaks to one of the general problems this show has. What year did this show come out?
That it was written by a white man, am I right?
Well, possibly. Sorry, I didn't actually check who the writers were, but that, yeah, I put money on that. Okay. Dude. Okay. Sounds right then. But also, like, the time frame for when it was, it really feels like a product of its time, where it's, I don't think whoever's written this has any sense of what a real lesbian relationship would look like, or has ever spent, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's, I think Fiona, is it Fiona, says something like she's been with women, but not really before, not like, like in a relationship. And obviously Vanny hasn't. And so, like, they just fall into this whirlwind relationship because they finally found another woman that wants to be in a long-term relationship or something like that. I don't know. It's like, it felt very shallow, yeah, and ill-considered. I don't know what it was about each other that,
yeah, there wasn't like moments where you're like, oh, like, you can feel the chemistry.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
They're building some sort of connection.
Yeah.
And the same could be said about every character in this film. Like, Danny's relationship with his best friend, like, there was very few moments where I'm like, oh, they obviously are close friends, mm-hmm. but the movie doesn't show it in any way.
Yeah.
Like,
it's, yeah. There's a lot of things, there's ideas in this show that I appreciate as concepts only. I think the idea of, like, Danny falling, this girl that Danny's been in love with in his real life, when he's Vanny, he can be with, but that's complicated. That's not a terrible idea. The idea at the end of episode two, the thing I was going to say earlier, the whole time Danny or Vanny has been, you know, doesn't want to sleep with Veronica's real life boyfriend, whose name I forgot, yes, all of a sudden as well, sure, right?
Jay.
So he's just trying to avoid it. And then it gets really drunk at this fashion thing he goes to and comes home drunk, and, like, Jay's trying to have it on with him, her, Vanny. And he's like, well, maybe I will. And I was like, how the episode ended. And I was like, now, that's an interesting idea. Because this thing this guy's been resistant to forever, because for whatever, whether it's homophobia or whether it's just he's not into men or he's never considered being with a man before or whatever, has stopped him from trying this. But he's in a situation where he's finally decided, you know what, maybe I just will. And maybe he had a good time. But then the next episode starts, he was like, I hated that, and then just forgets about it. I was like, that was an interesting idea you had there. There was something to explore there, if there was any really real writing or real, if you treaded carefully enough, there was something worth exploring, and it just, like, drops it immediately.
Well, like, yeah, like I said, like, the whole point of these films is so often to be, like, a walk in the mile, like, mm-hmm. a new perspective. And so, yeah, like, this was an opportunity for Danny to go, like, oh, like, because he is, like, aggressively straight. Like,
aggressively straight. Well said.
He gets so frustrated at the concept that this guy who believes that it's his girlfriend is sexually attracted to him. Like, he gets super frustrated every time. And we could talk about Jay. We'll talk a lot about Jay.
Sure.
Because Jay has some issues. But, yeah, he's just so adamantly against the notion that this could happen. And then when it does, I was like, oh, okay, so now we're going to enter this phase where he's, like, going to learn something about himself or about, you know, this spectrum of sexuality. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's just a full stop. There's so many full stops on stories as they begin to open.
Absolutely. So, I think, like, one of the things that really frustrated me about how the story unfolded, and I know it was trying to do things differently to, like, a normal swap film, but the fact that we didn't get Vanny and Veronica to meet properly until episode 4, which is the final episode.
Yes.
Really, so, really, really frustrated me.
I want to take us, because I feel like there is actually a lot to discuss here. Sure. Let's take it back to the setup of this swap. So sure. Danny, Veronica, we don't get anything about their life before this swap. Like, we're introduced to that information, not through the perspective of Danny and Veronica living their lives.
Bit of Danny. We get Danny at work. Danny.
We get mostly Danny. We don't get anything of Veronica. But they meet.
Mm-hmm.
on a stormy night in front of a power station.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I might have completely missed it. I don't know why Danny's hauling cable outside of a out of a power station because he's a DIY worker.
No, so he was asked to... This is a job that the those shifty criminal guys got him to do because he owed them money for a bet that went awry or whatever. It was... They knew that there was, like, copper cable on site and that's worth
that's
shit.
That's what was going
on. So he
on.
Was, like... Okay. He just stole, like...
The stole some copper cable.
Stole some copper cable. That's what he was doing. Okay, while we're here, though, just talking about this specific setup, like the swap function, right, in this one. It's sometimes it's a spell, sometimes...
Sometimes it's a wizard.
A wizard, whatever, right?
Ancient relic.
Sure. This one is... A lightning bolt hits a power station.
Yeah.
And the bit that makes me... I don't want to nitpick it, but it's like, why does it need to be a lightning bolt and a power station? If it's going to be electrocution, why does it need to be both from the sky and already a... Like a
especially
source of electricity.
Especially if you're going to introduce the characters, like, pointing out how ridiculous it is. Like,
yeah.
Because they look into it and they're like, oh, there's a doctor who, like, claims this could happen. And then it's like, yeah, that's... Molecules don't work like that. That's dumb.
Mm.
And it's like, well, wait a second. This literally happened. Can we actually follow up this doctor? I don't know.
Yeah, they could have looked into that a little bit more, perhaps, because it's, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, just I just thought it was redundant to have the lightning and the power station. It's like, it could have just been lightning, or it could have been the power station in the rain, like a cable falls or something like that. But it had to, I don't know, weird to me. Anyway, that was just me nitpicking.
I will say, I do like, this is, I think, the first swap we've had where... The two people don't know each other,
mm-hmm.
and they don't end up fight. Like they don't know how to get in touch with each other. It's kind of cool, except for the fact that you're like Veronica. Sorry, Danny is living Veronica's life. So, yeah, if Veronica for once went to any of the places where she worked, where she lived, this could have been solved much more quickly.
There was a lot. That was the frustrating thing because to keep them apart had to be very contrived. The first hurdle was memory loss.
Mm.
Of which Veronica seemed to have it way worse, possibly helped by the fact that Vanny woke up in the hospital, was found on site, taken by the ambulance to the hospital, you presume, and then so everyone was around him to let him know who he was now.
Yeah, to have some context to who body this was.
Veronica didn't have that, must have just wandered off into the night not knowing who they were. So that was
kind of cool, like the idea of like them being a vagrant, someone like wandering and...
Kind of. There's a really... The thing is, this is really about Danny. Danny, real Danny in Veronica's body.
Yeah.
We spend fuck all time with Veronica, realistically. Yeah. We will get a couple of things, particularly for the first two or three episodes, a couple of things of like, this is the homeless situation. It's like a 30-second little moment of like, this is what... Veronica's doing living on the street, but like not making progress, not really getting internal monologue. I don't think we ever got, or very little internal monologue of like what it was like in this situation. Whereas we're getting so much of Danny being a woman, so much of it. Like, so if that's the focus, that's fine, I guess. But I don't know. I felt like we're only seeing half a story here, which frustrated me a lot too.
Especially, I like Martin Freeman. So I was like, oh, it would be fun to see him. In something,
yes.
And you don't.
Nope.
Like, yeah. It reminded me of Chevy Chase was in a dog one, and it's like, you have 5 seconds of Chevy Chase, and then you just get his, like, meandering thoughts in his brain for, like, the rest of the movie.
Totally.
So yeah, that's our setup. What did you think of Vanny, of Danny in Veronica's body? Like, that journey.
I mean, it's a very... That part felt very familiar to me. The super blokey guy who's got to pretend to be a woman or is in a woman's body. And so is stomping around in the high heel shoes and looking like a dude and talking like a dude and swearing like a dude and doesn't know anything about fashion.
But to a degree where it's, once again, where we're talking about like being so adamantly straight, like I can't even... try to pretend.
Yeah.
As someone who's into conspiracies and has like this very paranoid and like I feel like Daddy would be like, this is a real situation. Mm-hmm. I need to toe the line. No, I'm going to be manly because I need to be manly and I don't care the consequences of it until he ends up in a mental institution.
And it's just so drawn out because it's a constant problem. He very rarely really seems to try much harder or tries and gives up very quickly. I think when I really started to lose it, I think was the end of episode 2 where he goes And, like, if he doesn't do this thing right, he's going to lose Veronica's job, right?
Yeah.
And it kind of sounds like he's going to try and then gets blackout drunk and does some of the dumbest things you've ever seen.
Yeah, he watches himself. He watches himself as Veronica do her job on a YouTube video.
Yeah.
And then goes to a fashion show and, yeah, gets blindly drunk and jumps on stage.
Intended to try is what I was told, was communicated to me, and then instantly doesn't just fuck it up, like, gets on stage and then makes complete ass of himself. And it's like, so that's where I'm like, so is this meant to be something that we're looking at this realistically? This would be traumatic and this would be upsetting and we're going to talk about how this is actually a fucked up situation. Or are you trying to be broad comedy? Because I think that's where you go if you're going to do something dumb like this. And I couldn't decide. I found it very frustrating. The mental institution part, I didn't hate because that is definitely something that would happen. But I was frustrated again that Danny and Veronica were so close to each other, but we were denied them coming together. Mostly because when they finally do meet in episode 4, they start to have the discussion about, I want my life back. Do you actually want your life back? I don't think you like your life that much. And it's like, okay, maybe if we had that perspective a little bit earlier, then we would have had time for Veronica to have a think about this and what they want from their life and whether they want to back their life.
We saw Veronica's perspective and her having some sort of like epiphany, like, oh, the freedom of this, you know, poor DIY worker's life is better than, you know, all the glitz and glam, but being under the toe of an oppressive boyfriend in a job that is demeaning or something like that.
Or getting to see more of like Jay from the outside, because when Veronica tries to show up to the apartment a couple of times, like, he's like not having any of it and like getting to see a different perspective on him, or maybe being able to see from the outside how Jay treats her when it's Vanny or whatever, right? And from an outside see, oh, actually, that's really gross. This guy's super controlling or whatever it might be, right? It's like, but they don't use any of that stuff. We just get one scene in a church, I think it is, of them like saying, I want my life back. Well, I don't know if I want you actually want your life back, blah, blah, blah. And that's it. And then they swap back at the end of the season. It's done.
Yeah, I don't know how he came to the conclusion that she wasn't satisfied with her life, besides the fact that
he wasn't satisfied with her life.
Yeah,
totally. And that's like, so where's the conversation to come to those sorts of conclusions? Where is the exploration of over essentially 3 hours of television? It was just like you've kept the story away from me, and that's very frustrating.
And when we actually have the swap back at the end, which, by the way, audience, happens by them electrocuting themselves in the same spot.
Classic.
And they do this little, like, have they swapped bodies? Of course they did.
They did. Like, they did. That, like, they swapped bodies, like,
they walked in different directions. They were quite satisfied with the body that they ended up in.
And instantly, Veronica goes, I don't want to be with you anymore, Jay.
Yeah, like, but sorry, we don't know where that came from.
I think months, at least weeks at this point, in someone else's body living off the street. You haven't even got home yet. Back to the things, a place I imagine you've at least put together to make comfortable for yourself that you've been missing for this long. Didn't think about it for 10 seconds. And yeah, maybe she shouldn't have been with Jay, but I still feel like it was a little more complex than
she I finally went to my body.
When would she have learned that? Would she have learned that?
Because even when Danny confronts her in the cathedral, like, she seems to still be in denial that this relationship is good, and she is actively pursuing that relationship throughout the series. Like, she keeps trying to talk to Jay about the fact that she's in another body, but Jay.
And because they've never spoken, Danny doesn't know anything about who Veronica really is. Do you know what I mean? Like, maybe Veronica is just a shallow person who doesn't care, who likes fucking her friend's boyfriend or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe she really is into that. And she actually loves her life. And how could he know? Because he's not spent a second with her. Anyway, that's what you asked, what I thought about the journey. The problem was, I didn't think there was much of a journey.
Yeah.
That's my real criticism. It was just like, did a lot of things and didn't go anywhere with any of them. And the ongoing mystery of, like, Danny's friends trying to find Danny and them trying to investigate, it was so laborious. And, like, one of the things I wrote down is, like, this is blunt and boorish and has no perspective on or anything to say. And that's ultimately my feelings on the entire show.
Yeah, I agree. So what's the deal with her parents?
Yeah, right? Because that's also
So this is what I mean by, like, they introduce actual interesting plot dilemmas or scenarios, and they just put a full stop on it. So what, they introduce
what were you parents. Thinking was going on in the background? What was your... Did you have a theory on what had happened there? Do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, so I was like, okay, he's completely embraced her parents as like, oh, we haven't connected in years. And so I think, I just assume, because I'm very assumptive of who you are, and I've like, you know, I've completely told you who you are. This must be because I'm a shallow person that I'm not hanging out with my mum and dad. Whereas I'm like, he's going to find out that her fucking parents are like abusive or some shit.
Exactly what I was thinking.
But no, full stop. That's the end of that part of the story.
And there was no explanation as to, so if it wasn't that, what was the reason Veronica didn't talk to her parents anymore? We never got
like,
told.
We never got her like swapping back into her body and then seeing that he had like restored this relationship and her being really happy about it or being really sad about it.
Or it's even
inconsequential
like,
to everything that's going on.
A conversation when they're still in the opposite body is just talking about, I've started talking to your parents again. And she's like, what? Why'd you do that? It's like, why aren't you talking? And just fucking have the conversation.
Laying it out.
It's called, that's tension. That's drama. That's story. Where was it? Weird.
So, yeah, I keep wanting to bring it back to Jay because I'm really interested to talk about Jay, the most controlling boyfriend that even his collection of CDs dominates the soundtrack to this series. So, like, every song that is mentioned as a part of his, like, CD collection, ELO, Elton John, George Michaels is like peppered throughout this series. Do you reckon that was like a choice, or do you reckon that was once again an incidental, interesting thing they did?
It's so hard to know. It's like maybe they had an idea, they just didn't know how to execute.
Maybe the sound engineer further? Was like, hey, this would actually add some.
Yeah, maybe. the prop department, they were there on the day. It's like, oh, these aren't the CDs we said. Oh, okay, actually, it's good. Yeah, I don't know. I'm baffled by the show on so many levels. It's hard to say. The Jay stuff, yeah, he's an awful, creepy, controlling man. I did have some sympathy for him early
there
on.
There is
though,
some human element to it
because he's definitely very tolerant of a very weird situation. Now, That's an interesting discussion, right? If someone has a traumatic event and it affects them enough, then that can affect their personality and how they perceive their relationships or their ability to be close to other people. And if you're someone who is very, like, they're your girlfriend, long-term girlfriend, want to marry them one day, and all of a sudden they're very cold to you, that's going to be very difficult. And he was doing, I thought, a very admirable job of accommodating her as she was dealing with that trauma, if that's what it was. Now, it wasn't that. It was body swap, which was much more complex and different and magical.
Yeah, but she was going through something and
right.
He wasn't, well, this is too difficult, I'm out. But at the same time, he was like, I want you to be exactly who you were before and I'm going to bend you to my will.
Totally. But then there's things like the show does the bit where he's spending time with Veronica's friend and then they're like, getting a bit close and they get a little bit drunk and she kisses him one day and you're like, oh, this is where we find out the guy's a real sleaze and or, like he's going to just go dump her.
Once again, an interesting dilemma. Full stop.
Full stop. Done. Never comes back to it. And it's like, so that didn't matter or it did matter? What am I meant to take away about Jay from this interaction? Is it that he was always, you know, one drunk night away from leaving Veronica anyway? Or is it that he's extremely dedicated? I don't know.
What's interesting about that situation? So, I don't think much of this film, but I think the actor, Patterson Joseph, actually did a lot with what he had. So, like, that moment.
Yes, he was trying. He was working really hard.
I was reading it as, like, he is into it and he's, like, giving all the messages and it happens and he then is like, restrain yourself, that's not happening.
Sure.
So there's this like interesting part where like he's deceiving himself, I think.
Sure. But again, it never goes anywhere after that. Yeah. It's as you said, full stop. That's the end of that idea, and it will not come back in any meaningful way ever again. So why was it here? I don't understand.
Basically, if she didn't act in a manner befitting him and give him the regular, you know, BJ or whatever. Like,
sure,
he was ready to send her back to the institution. Like, that's sure. messed up.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Very, very, very messed up. But again, it was like, I don't know.
Like, just... yeah, there's that moment where Danny gets frustrated and he's just basically like, oh, maybe I should call, you know, the institution and
yeah,
maybe we need to take you back. That was scary. That was like, oh my gosh.
I don't know if I made clear yet, I really did not like this show.
Let's get to that. Louisa, thank you so much for the recommendation.
Yeah, we I'm sorry, Louisa.
We fucking hated it, but it was interesting and we appreciate your suggestion.
I appreciate the suggestion. I'm glad I saw it. I'd never heard of it before, which surprised me a little bit. It was probably before Martin Freeman really became a household name. This is before The Office and stuff like that.
Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hitchhiker's Guide, where it really took off. Now he's in Marvel and all that sort of shit now. So, yeah, good to see something early Martin Freeman. Is Joseph Pattinson, is that his name? The guy that plays Jay? What was his name, sorry?
Pattinson Joseph.
Pattinson Joseph, other way around. Yeah. My mistake. I'm familiar with him from...
Peep Show?
Peep Show, and then also from the Mitchell and Webb.
Yeah, everything with Mitchell and Webb.
Like. Basically. And so, like, it was cool to see him doing some other work as well. Appreciate all of that. I generally like British stuff. I do a podcast that reviews TV shows and seasons, and this would be in the bottom 10% of shows I've watched and reviewed over. And we've nearly hit 200. Now, we are doing a very different podcast where we tend to aim for the higher prestige things, watching, television. You know, prestige television. We're watching The Sopranos. We're watching The Wire. We're watching Breaking Bad. You guys are doing a podcast about swap films. So probably there is a little bit of a difference in terms of what we've watched, the caliber of the things we've watched, generally.
Being John Malkovich is among...
I'm not saying there aren't some great films in there. I think the percentage of bad films might be higher. Might be slightly higher than what we do. But like, yeah, I really, really did not like this show whatsoever. It was a struggle. And like, they were only like 40-minute episodes or whatever it was.
Oh, it was a slog.
I get 20 minutes in or halfway, I'm like, there's still half of this episode to go. What the fuck is going on? It was... Did you notice how like harsh the edit was? Like when they were editing a dialogue scene... Like, just the really harsh cuts. There was no flow or, like, sort of... You know what they say, the art of editing is, like, it's meant to feel invisible? It was the opposite of that.
Yeah, when you're aware there's edits.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could not feel good. It being cut together and, like, shit being cut out or working around bad takes or something. It was just like, oh, my God, I feel all of this. I did not like this show whatsoever.
Anyway... I think that's good. Did you have anything else to say?
I was just leaning back through my notes, actually. I was just trying to think if there's anything.
Oh, wait. I was going to say, have you ever been to a... So, like, Jay has a... Because... Oh, that's something that's totally something we forgot. They get, like, engaged. Jay and
yes.
Any point, Danny could have just walked away from everything. He is used to living on the fringes of society. He would have been fine. But no, he chooses to stay at this house. He continues this relationship. He doesn't break up. Because he has a job. He could have gone and lived somewhere on his horoscope and fashion money. But he continues to stay in this house for some reason.
He could have even gone back to like his
where
house.
Where he lived, yeah.
Like, and waited or started looking for the person in his body from there.
He could have vanished. He's an adult, like obviously in someone else's body.
Sure.
But that person is allowed to just vanish if like they want to. Anyway, they are engaged and there's a surprise party and Danny's obviously not happy about it. Have you ever been to a surprise party where the surprisee is like furious?
I've honestly been to very few surprise parties in my life, I think. I think I had someone threw one for me. And from memory, I was actually a little bit annoyed because I thought I was on a date. And it turned out it wasn't a date. I thought it was like a semi-date I was on with like...
Like they were testing the waters or...
Kind of. It was like a girl I was... One of the girls in high school. Everyone was just like messing around with each other. And I was like, oh, this is cute. We're going on a little date for my birthday. And then all of a sudden people started showing up. I'm like, oh, could you guys piss off? I'm on a date here. And then more and more people. It's like, it took me a while to like have to like, okay, I need to appreciate this. People made the effort to make this a surprise party.
So, you're trying to hook up and everyone's coming and like jumping in.
It's like, why are you here? Why did you invite these people? I thought this was the day. And I had to like really work to like go, hold on a second. Actually, I need to appreciate this is a nice thing. It's just not the thing you thought you were doing.
Did you like ask, did a friend put her up to it? Like,
no, I think it was, there was just a nice idea. They were like, oh, I just misread it because I was a horny teenager and I was hoping it was a date when it wasn't. I don't know. But in my head, that's what we were doing. God, we were dressing up. It was like a 50s diner style thing. And we were like, dressed up for it. That was our
whole thing. Yeah, if you're dressing up, it's a date.
I She's thought right. so. Well, then everyone showed up dressed up. It was very,
yeah,
very...
Yeah, you were dating everyone there.
Exactly.
High school rules.
So I don't know. I don't know if I've been to that many surprise parties except the one that was thrown on me, but I remember being a bit upset about it, yeah.
I went to one where it was a birthday surprise party. I knew the guy, and... He has always said he hates birthday surprise parties,
uh-huh.
And his wife threw one for him, and they're like, she knew that he would say that, and she was like, yeah, but he'll love it, and he was not happy.
Mm.
We all jumped up, and he went, oh, hey, everyone, and then went to his room, and she went and chatted with him, and then we're just standing there like, what do we do?
Yeah, that's awkward. Are they still husband and wife?
They are. No, that's interesting.
That's
end
a
that
shame.
if you're listening, I was very awkward, so if this story makes you feel awkward, it's your own fault.
You did this to Brandon. This is your fault.
But yeah, before we move on, because Paul was really invested in giving his opinion, I think because he had to watch this, it needed to mean something. So he wrote a little letter to the audience, and I'll read his opinions on Boy Meets Girl. Hey, everyone. Oh, yeah, I should do it in Paul's accent.
Can you do it in Paul's voice? I want to see this. You're going to add some, like, you need to, like, add some music behind it, like he's handwriting this, like it's a letter to a loved one. Hello, audience. Like, yeah, typing it out.
For some reason, he has a typewriter.
He has a typewriter.
Okay. I don't know how to do Paul without being offensive. All right. Hey, everyone. Paul here. Unfortunately, I couldn't make the recording this week because I've finally been struck down with COVID. If it was a mild, I would have pushed through and recorded anyway, but I've completely lost my voice, which kind of makes recording the podcast pretty difficult.
I was impressed there. I won't let Paul write that impersonation. I was like, oh yeah, I can hear.
I was doing a beat Paul, and then I realized like this isn't where he'd be like registering. He'd be in that lower end, but then I sort of lost it. I'll read it normally. I've completely lost my voice, which kind of makes recording the podcast pretty difficult. I'm super grateful for Brendan and Brod to be jumping in and soldiering on without me. Aw, thanks, mate.
Aww.
I've watched this week's miniseries, Boy Meets Girl, so I wanted to at least give my 2 cents. While Boy Meets Girl is not something I would describe as successful, I do think in relation to the dozens of movies we've covered, it does have some interesting differences. I don't think we have covered anything with this particular tone. The show is relentlessly dour, highlighting unlikable, depressed characters going through distressing life circumstances. And while the musical score sometimes is goofy, I think the show is trying for a fairly serious and grounded tone. The show is probably the most realistic attitude to people finding out about a swap. Instead of believing their far-fetched stories, the friends and partners of the characters refuse to believe them and get them committed to a mental institution. The swapped characters are also really distressed and disturbed by the circumstances and never truly adapt to their new forms, which is another nice touch. Overall, the show is a bit of a slog, depressing, ugly to look at, and is devoid of likable characters. But that being said, we have watched a lot worse for the show. So that's Paul's opinion, and I think we can all give that a hear here.
I thought that since you're back to your old self, that all that eating cereal and collecting silly little figures would be over.
Listen, pal, I'll just decide what I'm doing and what I'm not doing, you had no right, no right to go throwing those away. And for the record, I like cereal. And I'll eat whatever I like, not whatever middle-class toss you think I should be eating. All right, is that clear?
Okay, darling, I think I better call the psychiatrist.
No, no, no. Sorry.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So you heard what we thought about this movie, but how attracted did we find the cast? It's now time for Hot or Not, and I'll fill this one this time.
Okay,
if you like,
I can do it. It's fine.
Nah, it's my turn. I've been away for so long.
Okay.
If anyone's wondering where I've been, I had a baby.
Congratulations,
Did they mention that? I can't remember if they mentioned that.
I think so. I mean, I knew about it, but that's because we talk off air, so I don't remember.
So, I'll do it in a baby voice. How about that?
Sure.
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if they're hot or not.
Ding.
Everyone is beautiful in their own way. All right. This is
either the best or the worst episode of this podcast. I'm not sure which one it is yet. It's one of them.
I am really interested how this... I always feel like I get away with this segment because I'm hiding behind a gay guy and a woman.
You get to just go... Mm.
Like, yeah, the idea of, like, me just objectifying people.
Now, two straight white guys get to talk about how hot ladies are.
This part of the podcast is disgusting. All right.
Let's be real. It is.
So, before we go on with our Hot or Not... Paul has written also some of his notes for some of the characters. Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, he's left all the females out. He was too lazy to write anything about them. But he has some thoughts on our first character, which we're going to discuss, is Martin Freeman. So Paul says, I would totally bone Martin Freeman in real life, even though an unwashed conspiracy theorist is pretty much the opposite of my type. So that's Paul's opinion.
So he's saying hot.
He's giving him a hot.
He's giving Danny a hot.
He's giving Danny a hot. He's going, despite his character,
is Martin Freeman that attractive? Martin Freeman
rises up out of him.
Transcends a grubby QAnon DIY worker? I don't think Martin Freeman. And listen, obviously, wrong person to be asking, but. No, I don't think so.
I wish Lucy, I would have really liked to hear Lucy's opinion because mm-hmm. I feel like she could have gone either way.
I think Lucy would have said not to Martin Freeman in this.
Yeah, I think she would have found his character trying. But
feel free to correct me, Lucy, but that's my feeling.
So yeah, I think nuts from here. Mm-hmm. We're out in ranking. Sorry, yep. Martin Freeman, if you're listening, you're not going to receive your double hot.
I don't think he's even that attractive normally, but anyway.
Ouch. What about other protagonist, Rachel Sterling, playing Veronica Burton?
I think she's attractive physically. It is hard to know because we spend fuck all time with the, like, that's the thing with, like, Danny in this, right? It's not just Martin Freeman. It's Martin, it's like, if it's a character of Danny, it's also when Danny is being Veronica. And Danny's a massive pain in the ass. Veronica, we spend a lot of time with, like, her body. And I don't think she's unattractive. I think physically she's quite pretty, I guess. But we spend not enough time with her to know what the fuck. I don't know anything about that woman.
Yeah.
I know nothing about her.
I would say, all right, so if Rachel Sterling was attractive... However,
the actor's attractive. The actress attractive, sure.
She's supposed to be a fashion guru or something like that. Like she's the voice of fashion for Westminster. I don't know.
Yeah.
And the way she dresses, her outfit choices, not just as Danny, what's in her wardrobe, it's like you're an office clerk. Like that's who you are. There was no flair. I'm trying to channel my best Lucy here. There was no attitude. There was nothing about her clothes that said, like, hey, I'm here, you know?
I'm going to say not hot, right? This is hot or not. Not are they mildly, not are they warm, not are they like, this is hot or not. I don't think Veronica is hot.
Yeah, all right. Nah, I'm with you.
Are you all right?
Not hot either?
Yeah. Nah, hot not. And actually, just while we're talking about this as well, we're talking about the actress. How do you feel? Because we spent so much time with it of her doing her blokey. Yeah, of like doing the blokey, like, what is it? I don't even know if it's a Welsh accent or whatever it is, like the whole time. How did you find that?
I did not find that she channeled an ounce of Martin Freeman in that performance.
And like Martin Freeman was doing that accent at the start as well. I know that's not his like normal accent either. And so that's why it's a weird choice. It was like, did they give him that accent because she was better at doing a blokey accent like that as well? Like, is that the reason that choice was made?
But we even spent so little time with him that I was surprised at every choice. This character, like, because in reality, this is to do with the writing rather than her portrayal. Because, like I said, all this aggression and all this like confrontation of people, this doesn't feel like the Danny I spent 20 seconds with at the start of the show.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
He seemed like someone who would talk a lot of shit, have a lot of opinions and theories that he could voice to people who would not challenge him. But if he was in the face of anyone who would be more dominant, I feel like he would cower, like he would whimper. You know what I mean? That's what I got from the 20 seconds I spent with real Danny.
And I want to flip this as well. Well, I'm not sure how I felt about Martin Freeman doing Veronica and doing like a woman inside Martin Freeman's body. And A, we just spent so much less time with him, it was hard to make that assessment. But B, I don't think it was all that inspiring either. It was just very, I thought, generic, softer, quieter woman voice. There was nothing else going on there either. And we didn't spend any time with Veronica before or
after
this
event
to know what Veronica sounds like, to even know if that was an accurate portrayal of what the character was anyway. Yeah. So it's even harder to form an opinion on that.
Let's move on now to how about Fiona, the love triangle? Is it a triangle? A triangle with himself?
Sure. Yeah, I guess. Well, it's triangle with Jay, I guess, technically.
True.
Probably, yeah. If there was anyone who I was warm to as a character, it probably was Fiona. She seemed to be a little more reasonable than other characters, except for the part where she fell in love with this woman she'd met for 20 seconds. But she was just generally kind and like understanding and a bit more patient and those sorts of things. I think she's an attractive lady. So of all the characters, she's probably the closest to a hot.
She was a good person.
Yes.
Too good a person.
I didn't hate being around her though. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, which was a step up from most of the other
everyone else.
Yeah. So but, sure. On that level, hot.
But how nuts is it that she went to the legs she did to find Danny? Like, were they friends?
Again, I think they were friends. That's the thing. I think they were friends. It's just that he wanted to be more than friends. I think they had that like kind of teasing buddy relationship. I reckon they went to that pub together with their other mate for drinks after work.
I got the vibe she had worked at the store for 2 weeks.
Oh, maybe.
She was like, oh, yeah, of course, this person's missing. So I'm going to dedicate what little time I have outside of work to tracking him down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I frankly don't care anymore.
Like I said, going above and beyond for some random incel.
Yeah, true.
I'm going to save the best for last.
Mm-hmm. There's Frank Crim of The Independent. He was in this. That was
Frank Crim? Who's Frank Crim?
Have you watched Ted Lasso?
Yeah.
Do you remember the reporter that's there that like...
Oh, is that what I know him from?
That's what the
yes, now that you say it, I immediately... I was like, he looks so familiar.
Yep. He's attractive in Ted Lasso. That silver mane is a striking man.
Oh, really?
Mm.
I do not agree.
There's some Frank Crim fans out there. I know that for a fact. I've seen that on Twitter.
Oh, is that
thirsty,
like a...
Some thirsty Crim fans.
Thirsty Crims, all right. Let's go to Joseph Patterson.
There we go.
No, wait. Patterson Joseph. Jeez. It's totally... It might be mean, but your first name is the last name. Your last name is the first name.
That's true. That's true. As Jay. I think Patterson Joseph is actually an attractive man in real life. I think Jay is a fucking creep. And the way he looks at Veronica is disgusting. And the way he treats Veronica is disgusting. Except, like, there was that part, there was a fairly big chunk where I was like, this guy is very, very patient.
He's very patient.
That's not nothing.
There is something toxic about him.
That is very toxic as well.
Also, I feel like in a way he is trying, like he's reading a book to sort of, he's not being passive about his relationship. He's not like, there's nothing wrong with me. He is doing some introspection. It's very flawed.
Again, this is the complex problem with the show, is because we don't spend any time with Veronica and Jay pre the switch. We don't know what the existing relationship was like. Well, all we have is this guy who, as far as we can understand, was completely dedicated in love with this woman, and at least he thought she was in love with him.
Yeah.
Who then is found her a completely different human being as trying to navigate that.
Mm.
That's the situation. That's all we know. And so every action is based on that amount of information. And there is, it's not complete. I don't think he is always, he's unreasonable completely. When he gets engaged to her and she actually hasn't said yes, that's obviously terrible. When he's, I'm going to throw you back in a mental institution because I don't think you're right. That is very scary and toxic.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of time where I thought he was being very, very patient. And when an opportunity came to be with someone else, he said no as well. Like, he was trying to be loyal as well. Yeah. But no, he's not hot.
Well, what did Paul have to think? Patterson Joseph as Jay, her boyfriend, made my skin crawl. The way he spoke to her was horrid, and when he licked that knife after they fucked,
I must have blanked that from my mind. I don't even remember that, but that sounds disgusting. I might... Can I do a double not hot?
Can I play devil's advocate here, Paul? He went down on her, and that is...
that's true, too. He was not a selfish lover.
He's not a selfish lover, and I think that licking her the knife was like, remember that?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure you made the argument you think you're making.
I think he did well. I think he was successful. That's why he is confused about this rude awakening.
Man with a silver tongue.
Do you want some honey on your toast?
Or shall I just smear it all over your sexy body?
It's time for Opinion Swap, where we find entertaining reviews of Boy Meets Girl from across the interwebs. I didn't find any, so that's the end of this segment.
Moving on.
Have you passed your test, love? Bloody women drivers.
You want to argue about my driving? Fine, get out here and we'll sort it. But I'm not a bloody woman, all right?
Time for Tenuous Recommendations, where each of us recommend a piece of media that's linked to today's movie in some way. And as a reminder, if you want to see a list of all the recommendations we make on the show, head on over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So... I will ask our guest, Brod, to go first. Now, I feel like you guys really abuse this segment. I think you've been on it enough that you should have at least three max.
That's right. I really only had two, and even those two were very closely related.
All right. Is one of them Peep Show? I think
one of them is Peep Show. Is yours Peep Show?
I was going to say Peep Show, but not Peep Show. But everyone watch Peep Show. Like, Brod watches TV series professionally, and he's recommending Peep Show.
I will recommend Peep Show. It's actually, this is my tenuous recommendation. I'm going to go a step further, though. So through Patterson Joseph, who plays Jay, he is a character. He plays, I can't remember the character's names all of a sudden. It's been a while since I've watched him. Anyway, his boss.
Johnson.
At work. Johnson, exactly right. Thank you very much. He's a great character in a very, very funny show. Peep Show, if you haven't seen it, it's about two flatmates living in London. One is a massive history buff played by, what's his first name? I can't remember all of a sudden. I've got it right here in front of me. David Mitchell, who you might know from Would I Lie to You? He's one of the hosts on that. Anyway, he's like a massive history nerd, works an office job as a massive piece of shit, as is his housemate, played by Robert Webb, whose name is Jeremy. That's the character's name. And he's a complete loser, wants to be like a musician, but doesn't have like his life together at all. He's also always chasing women and stuff like that. Anyway.
The regular odd couple.
Very much an odd couple situation. What's interesting about the show is it's filmed completely in first person, meaning every single shot in the show is through the perspective of another person's view, like their vision,
yeah,
basically. So there is never a twofer of Jeremy and David Mitchell's character together, basically. Mark, it is. There's never a shot of David and Mark together unless maybe they're looking in a mirror
or something
and
like that.
Stuff
sure.
like that. Yeah, it's really interesting in how it's filmed just in that regard. It's also just very, very funny about two pieces of absolute shit. And boy, does it escalate over many seasons. It's like somewhere between 5 to 10 seasons. It's a lot of seasons.
I think it's 9 seasons or an American 3.
An American 3. It's very, 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 very good. Olivia Colman's in it as well. These four people were also in another show that is my official recommendation, which was the Mitchell and Webb Look, which was one of a couple of different skit shows I think they did.
Yeah.
But this one, tend to have Patterson Joseph in it as well and Olivia Colman quite a lot. That's a very funny show. I don't think I've watched it all the way through necessarily, but there's some great skits in there that I return to every so often. The one in particular I'm going to mention is the series of Number Wang skits.
Number Wang. That's Number Wang.
That's Number Wang. If you want to find the Number Wang series of skits, you can probably find them all on YouTube. It's a whole ridiculous thing about this completely nonsensical game show. It makes me laugh every time I watch it. Check out the Mitchell and Webb Look, or at least the Number Wang skits from the Mitchell and Webb Look. I still say that's Number Wang pretty frequently in my life because of that.
What was it? Are We the Baddies is a classic.
Are We the Baddies? I mean, that's a meme now. Are We the Baddies? Yeah.
The Angel Summoner and BMX Bandits. That's another series of like, it's basically
it's
like
a series of skits.
Yeah, it's like a superhero duo where one's basically like an angel who can summon an army of angels, and the other one's a BMX rider.
It sounds like the Avengers. It's like how you have Thor and Hawkeye.
Yeah,
it's like how are these two in the same fucking team?
Exactly.
There was one that came out recently of like people writing sports films. These two guys who wrote a sports movie, but they didn't know the sport was about like a cricket film, like a cricket underdog film, like your Mighty Ducks or something like that. But they don't know any of the rules of cricket. I enjoyed that one as well.
I wholeheartedly agree. I think anything they touch, I am pro. Like,
yeah, I definitely want to check things out. There's been a couple of series that Mitchell and Webb have done since. I think Ambassadors or something like that was one of them.
Ambassadors is probably like the weakest. Yeah. In my opinion.
I loved the idea of it. I don't think I made it past episode 1 or 2. And there was another one about
the movie
where
Magicians is a great watch, is a really fun watch.
What's the one?
The most
where
recent one, Back, I would
Back,
recommend.
That's what I was thinking of. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's the one. Is it David Mitchell's character like inherits his dad's pub or something like that?
Yeah.
What I've seen of that I've really liked as well. Mm. Yeah. Definitely worth checking out.
Well, my tenuous recommendation, this was a British show, and I'm also recommending something British. I watched a movie over the weekend called All My Friends Hate Me. Have you heard of this one?
I have not.
It's a wonderful film. It's very, very tense. It's a thriller comedy, just based around the anxiety of someone who is going to go to a birthday party held by their old, like, uni friends, and The whole movie is about them like experiencing this party and sort of having that like the inkling in the back of their mind, like, do my friends hate me? Like, do they like me? And it just builds wonderful tension throughout the entire thing. And yeah, there's this person they've brought along to his birthday party that he doesn't know, who really is like this character who gaslights him, and it just ends in a wonderful combination of writing. So I feel like if you love that British tension,
mm-hmm,
and you want to deliver it in this sort of thriller comedic way, I highly recommend All My Friends Hate Me.
Is it playing on that very real anxiety some people experience where they actually genuinely like go out with their friends and just to convince that actually no one really likes them, they're just tolerating them the for some reason? Is it like playing on that real tension, or is it a bit more out there than that?
Yeah, no, like it definitely
Like that familiar feeling?
Yeah, that's that feeling sometimes where you're like, sort of like, sort of evaluating, like, is this this friendship or...
Yeah.
And so all these these comments that the friends are making, it's like you can read these two ways and this music's telling me it's sinister. But
that's
is it? And yeah, it was a really fun watch. It was something really refreshing and different. So
awesome.
I just wanted to recommend it. And it was British, so...
Perfect. As good excuses you need and tenuous recommendations.
Okay. But we're going to do things my way this time. Now, I know where I went wrong before. I didn't take charge. You like to act the independent woman, but I know that deep down inside, there's a scared little girl that needs a strong man to take charge. Well, I'm going to be that man. I'm going to take charge, Veronica Burton. I'm going to be your man. And I'm not going to take no for an answer. Veronica? Will you marry me?
What?
You heard. I know it's a shock, but isn't it just the right thing to do? Oh. We're getting married! Darling, we're getting married!
Well, that brings us to the end of the first... I think this is the first time we've had two people on the show, and not Paul.
Yeah. Definitely the first Paul-less episode, if nothing else.
Paul-less, yeah. Yeah, I definitely missed
picking on Paul. I miss picking on Paul too.
Picking on Paul. Lucy introducing some element of like cultural relevance.
Sure.
Do you know of anything that's going on in the world of like celebrities or culture?
No. I stay as far away from culture as I can. Really.
Yeah. Okay.
Uncultured swine, as they say.
Well, anyway.
Rely on Lucy for that too.
Paul and Lucy, you were sorely missed.
Yes, you were.
And yet
we pulled this off. We don't need them. Eh. This is fine. This is good.
We'll let the listeners decide. If you're listening to this and you were like, oh, that was awful, please write in and tell us, like, next time, just skip a week, okay?
maybe just take a screen cap right now of what the review, how many star ratings Swapcast Podcast has,
and how much it goes
and check
down.
It is in 2 weeks and see whether it's changed much or not. If it's gone down, I apologize.
Yeah, I don't want bullshit 5-star reviews. Tank us. No, but real. If you're listening, love your feedback.
Reach those 100 reviews and we can finally do Face Off.
Yeah, I never say they have to be 5 stars. Okay. I think Paul does, but anyway. Let's talk about next week's episode when we have the gang back together.
Oh, do you need to rate this? Where would this rate for you in your list?
Wait, so am I just doing it or do you have a list
I've
now?
I've got my own list. Hold on, I'll get my list up.
So where did you rank Boy Meets Girl?
So my list is a little bit shorter than yours, but it went dead last on my list after AI Love You.
Oh, yeah. Which is the one where a building falls in love with a lady.
That's right. Exactly right. So it was Boy Meets Girl at the very bottom. I Love You above that. Mama Boy, I love that.
Was it a hard choice?
No.
Mama Boy is not even second to last. Wow.
No. Mama Boy is a terrible movie, but is bad enough. That's the right sort of bad. It's enjoyable.
So that's why it is going for me. Amongst the company of, I keep scrolling down. I'm like,
keep going.
It's going to go under Oh Heavenly Dog and above Christmas Trade.
Under Oh Heavenly Dog. That was the Chevy Chase one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I listened to the episode and that sounded truly horrendous.
I think it's because this, I think what really made it more painful is because every time I was like, oh, that episode's over. Oh, wait, I've got to watch 3 more.
Yes.
And then
yes.
I was like, oh, that episode's over. Oh, wait, I've got to watch 2 more.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. No, fair enough. It deserves it.
That was this week's episode. Next episode, we're going to be doing our first ever Filipino swap.
Ooh.
Well, Filipino movie. I'm not sure if the people are Filipino or not in the movie.
Sure.
That could be. We'll find out. The 2010... Here Comes the Bride, where 5 people who's got their souls switched in a solar eclipse in the middle of a wedding preparation. Stephanie, the bride, soul is gets into the body of snobby Percy, whose soul gets put into the Yaya Melodine, whose soul is switched into Ben, the grandfather, whose soul enters the gay beautician Toffee's body, and whose soul enters enters Stephanie's body.
It's a pentaswap. Five people.
It's our first ever pentaswap.
Pentaswap. Oh my god. That's thrilling.
Which is really exciting, because I don't know if you heard the episode where I suggested a movie like Grease, but the entire like high school of Grease swaps with a high school from this period. Which I think would be a really exciting premise. So we're on our way. Five people. That's pretty good. But
we're going up.
I want to see an entire high school body swap with a high school from the 50s. Anyway. Now,
did you choose this film, Brendan?
Paul did.
I was going to say, you've got the power right now.
Yeah.
Whatever you say in this episode is what will happen next episode.
I know. I was going to choose whatever I wanted. Movie. But then I heard Pentaswap and I was like, that sounds like a movie.
Fair enough.
The problem... Oh, wait. There's more. So we got five people switching bodies, but the problem is that their souls are happy where they are, except for the bride-to-be. After 2 years, they attempt to repeat the accident on the magnetic hill. Can everyone get their proper souls back in there and get the bride married? Wow.
Legitimately, the concept sounds like good.
So we've got five people. There's potential swap. There. They're in the bodies for 2 years.
Yeah.
And they don't want, no one wants to swap back except for the bride.
It's like the trolley problem. It's like the trolley problem of soul swapping movies.
Well, yes. Thanks again, Rod, for filling in for two
pleasure.
People.
I hope I didn't overtake the episode too much. I'm really good at just talking. Thank you for having me. I appreciate the invite.
Well, if I you don't, did enjoy. Sorry?
I don't thank you for recommending this show, though. I can't believe you made me watch this.
Well, I didn't. Our listener did, so back off.
sorry, Louisa.
But if you do enjoy hearing Rod talk, you can hear him talk more on his podcast, Hunting Seasons Podcast.
That's right. Most recently, we reviewed Atlanta Season 3, and then before that, Russian Doll Season 2. And the next episode... I'm not sure when this is coming out in relation to your podcast, but it will be a review of Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney Plus. Season 1, I'm going to say. There's rumors there might be a season 2, but I doubt it. It's meant to be a limited series.
Well, yeah, like I have said when you've been on, like, if you've ever watched a show and you're like, oh, I want to talk to someone about that, and you don't know anyone else who's watched it, highly recommend jumping on and seeing if they've watched it, because they probably have.
I take it as a massive compliment that you would recommend us for something like that. That's very nice of you to say, Brendan.
You're welcome. So until next time, as Paul would say, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW. Review us on iTunes or on Spotify. I was Brendan Levi.
I was Broderick Gordis.
And we're out.
Bye.
Bye.
The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of 2 Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.